It says, here is wisdom. It does not say here is a riddle. It does not say here is a puzzle, but here is wisdom. And it is something that really is obvious. It's not something dark, deep, and mysterious. Now, you and I don't need to go very far to see this number 666. Many churches have had these numbers written on their doors and walls as graffiti. And you soon learn that you are in a deep, dark spiritual battle against a wicked foe.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Today we're coming to one of the deepest and the most trying chapters in all of God's Word, the 13th chapter of Revelation. It is the chapter of the devil's rebellion against God. And I trust that we will learn today the meaning of that number, 666. It is a number of defiance. It is a number of man's failure. It is the number that is often applied to Satan himself as he opposes the church of the Lord Jesus. Stay tuned with us now as we turn to this chapter of 13 in the book of Revelation.
Revelation chapter 13 is our reading passage tonight. And we're turning there now to read God's Word, Revelation chapter 13. And we'll read the chapter through. Please follow along in your own copy of God's Word, Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the image of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. We thank thee for this wonderful hymn, and we put our confidence in the blood, the victory of the Lord Jesus at the cross. As we come to this very dark chapter, O God, we pray for wisdom. We pray for humility. We pray for an understanding of these warnings that are given and these insights to the workings of the powers of our spiritual enemy. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast conquered the devil. We thank thee that we are no longer slaves of Satan, but that we are now the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we crown thee our King. We plead your favor and your protection. And we ask that as we walk through this chapter, that thou wilt lead us, teach us, and strengthen us. In our Savior's name, amen. Amen. Six, six, six. That's how this chapter closes. And there is a revealing of the name of this beast, the Antichrist, by number. Now, there are many people who have done funny things with this number, and they apply all kinds of methodologies, and some even can come up with Hitler or various such cruel figures in history, and they can make, just by juggling numbers, they can make it appear he's the one. Now you'll notice at verse 18, it says, here is wisdom. It does not say here is a riddle. It does not say here is a puzzle. But here is wisdom, and it is something that really is obvious. It's not something dark, deep, and mysterious. Now, you and I don't need to go very far to see this number 666. Many churches have had these numbers written on their doors and walls as graffiti. And you soon learn that you are in a deep, dark spiritual battle against a wicked foe when there are enemies of Christ who so seek to discourage God's people. Now, in chapter 12, verse 17, we have seen the workings of this enemy, the devil himself. And you will learn in chapter 12, 17, that he's out to make war with the remnant of the seed. Now, that really sets up chapter 13. It opens up this theater of war. Remember that he has been defeated as he sought to destroy the Christ. He has been cast out of heaven. He's frustrated because everything he seeks to attain, he is defeated. He knows that his time is short. And so now he has set himself to persecute the woman. And she is described here as the remnant or those that keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Into chapter 13, verse 7, you will see that this war is now raging, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. And this is the focus of the devil's warfare. You are his target. There's a bullseye on the back of every professing Christian, everyone that would claim the name of Jesus as their Savior. You are in sight of the devil's wrath because he is out to make war with the people of God. Now, Satan has tools for the job. And what we're going to learn here tonight in this chapter and in chapters to come of those particular tools that the devil uses. The first one is chapter 13, 1, is this beast that comes up out of the sea. And there's a whole lot to learn about that first beast. We're going to refer to him as the first beast. He's the major beast. He is the long-term enemy. And then in verse 11, you will see that there is another beast, and he comes up out of the earth. So he's related to the land. The first beast is related to the sea, and the second beast, he is referred or related to the land. And his job is to help the first beast. And he strengthens him, and he deludes many that they will follow the first beast. The third tool that Satan uses on the earth is the whore church, Babylon. We will come to that later in our studies in this book of Revelation. Now, the 666 is a reference to the false trinity, the satanic trinity. You'll notice them right here in this chapter. You have the dragon in verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon. Now the dragon is the devil, and he ultimately receives the worship. And they do so through the other beast. And that is a little parallel to God the Father and God the Son. The other beast, the beast out of the land, is like the Holy Spirit. He is the one who ministers and helps the first beast. Just as the Holy Spirit, his work is to reveal Christ, to promote him, and to strengthen the body of Christ, and to bring them to faith in Jesus. And so this second beast, like the Holy Spirit, he is the deluder, the deceiver, and he works by many false claims and deceits. And so we can see here the false trinity at work. The dragon, who is the devil, he assumes the place of God. He wants to be the god of this world. We're told that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. The beast, he assumes the rule and reign of Christ. He is killed and he's brought to life again. And it is that seeming slaying and resurrection of this beast out of the sea that wins the multitudes and deludes so many. And then the land beast, he brings forth signs and wonders and causes the world to wonder after the first beast. So we see here that the devil is a counterfeiter. Everything that God has ordained, there's a counterfeit. There's a negative side, an evil side, a delusion for every truth. For every dollar, there is a counterfeit dollar. For every truth, there is a counterfeit truth. For every weapon that God uses, the devil has his weapons too. for the time that he is allowed. And remember, Satan knows that his time is short. Satan goes to work in the world using these tools: the first beast, the second beast, and of course, the false church. Now, if you've been reading your Bible, none of this should surprise you. You're probably sitting in your seat, "Preacher, I knew all that." That's all over the Bible. 2 Peter 4:4, that Satan wishes to be the god of this world. 1 John 5:19. Now, I better keep my word that I mentioned this morning. I want you to see this for yourself. 1 John 5:19, where you have "the whole world lieth in wickedness." 1 John 5:19, "we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." The whole world wanders, is deluded by the beast. And that's the world we live in. Let's remember that. That world has your address on it. That world is your street, your city, your country. Canada is lying in wickedness. Also, 1 John 2:18, we read here, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time." So sprinkled through the New Testament and in the Old, there is this truth. Satan seeks to be the god of this world. He's a deceiver, and the whole world follows after the lie of the enemy. What we have in Revelation 13 is really a dramatic, ramped up version highlighting these events in a very picturesque manner to impress on us the power of it and the reality of it. It's very easy for you to go home, put your feet up, close the door, and pull the curtains and say, "It's safe in here." But we are never far from the world that lies in iniquity. So in this chapter, we learn the methods of Satan to claim the following of the world. And we wonder, how does he do it? That's our subject tonight. We're going to look at the methods, the tools by which the devil gains the following of the world. Nations, cultures, peoples, generations, to follow his lie. Firstly, he uses the shaking of the nations. Look at that in verse 1. We're told here, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Where do we get nations from that? The word sea. He comes up out of the sea, and in Revelation, as in other places in the Bible, the sea is a symbol of nations and peoples. If you care to turn over to chapter 17 and verse 15, you will see this right set out here. Chapter 17 and verse 15. "And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues." And so this beast, he's coming up not out of a literal sea as an ocean, but he is being raised up by nations and peoples. And those nations are in turmoil. They are clamoring for power. And they are granting to this beast, this figure motivated by the devil, They are granting him their loyalty, their following. Now, the beast has seven heads and ten horns. Stay with me here in chapter 17 and look at verse 9. I just love it when the Bible expounds itself. I don't have to go to Matthew Henry or to some other commentator or some Greek scholar to tell me what's this all about. In this verse 15, we saw that the sea is the nations. In verse 9, you will see that the seven heads are seven mountains. Seven mountains. The beast also had 10 horns with 10 crowns. And if you look at verse 12 of chapter 17, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings. So we're building the picture now. The sea is the nations, the peoples of the world. The horns are the kingdoms, and there's 10 of them. And the head are the mountains. You'll notice blasphemy. And so it would appear that in every one of these kingdoms, they are being led to blaspheme. Now, blasphemy is to take titles that really belong to God and to give them to men. That's blasphemy. And we see a great deal of it right here. We learn that this first beast is associated with political power. The second beast is somewhat different. It is the appearance of a lamb with two horns. It is the appearance of being gentle and meek and mild. But that is what deceives, because he has all the power of the first beast and all the authority of the first beast. Now you'll notice in verse 2 that the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and it goes on to talk about the dragon, that's the devil, gave him his power, his seat, and his authority. I'm talking slowly because I want you to see this in your Bible. I just don't want to rattle off a lot of things that just leave your head spinning. I've spent all week looking at this. I've spent hours and hours looking at this. I had to get the picture of in my mind before I could even do anything with it. And I'm expecting you in a short half hour or so to get the whole message. And I want you to get this clear picture that this beast, this political authority, ruling and reigning over 10 kings in a city of seven mountains, that he is given his authority by the dragon. By the dragon. Now, this would, in the day in which it was written, and much of the Bible needs to be taken in the day in which it was written, when John was in the Isle of Patmos writing this revelation from God, there was already established the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was God's means of bringing multitudes, peoples, and nations into bondage. And you can see that it was ultimately bondage to Satan, because emperor worship pervaded. And where they worshiped the emperor, they were giving their worship to the devil. And you will see that right here in this passage. The early Christians in that first century, they knew that if they were going to be loyal to Christ, loyal to the gospel, not accepting the mark of the beast, that they must not bow down and worship the emperor or the image of the emperor, because that would be devil worship. And they refused, and they loved not their lives unto death, and there were countless martyrs in that period. And so we learn from this that the nations of the world are the seat of Satan. He uses the lust of men, the lust of power, the lust of authority to serve him. And the devil gives these leaders their power and authority so that the peoples and the nations ultimately turn their loyalty to Satan. He craves to be the god of this world. Now that happened in the first century, and it happens in Canada today. The devil gives authority, the seat of power, to men that they might lead the nations to follow after Satan. This world is no friend of grace. And this week there has been legislation after legislation that has been contrary to the law of God. We are living in a nation that lieth in wickedness, where Satan is seeking to turn men away from God, his word, and his truth, that all men will worship and follow after him. That's the first thing we see how the devil works. He uses the nations. He shakes the nations. He enslaves the nations, ultimately to worship him.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. And I hope that today that you have been challenged and encouraged. We are living in times when our loyalty is being determined. Do we love Christ even unto death? Or do we love this world and all the bondage that it brings us into? Here is the call to live for the Lord, to give your heart to him, and to wait for that glorious day when he appears to deliver us from the power of Satan and sin. We thank thee. So thank you for joining with us, and I trust that you will stay tuned for these closing announcements. They're coming up right now, and may the Lord bless you richly. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.